Well, it's lovely on Mother's Day to be able to give flowers to all the ladies in the church. We're going to do that in a few moments' time. But I want to read, first of all, just a few verses from Exodus chapter 2. Moses' mother. And I just want to read of her love, her care and compassion, recorded in Exodus chapter 2. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman. And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. And then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered, and the girl went and got the baby's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him, and when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." That's the first record of child benefit in that passage. She was paid for looking after her own child. But get a sense there of motherhood and the hearts of both women, actually, in that passage for the child. And we're celebrating that together. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for our mums. Thank you for the ladies of our church. Thank you for the brightness that they bring and the blessings, the wisdom, and all the goodness that we know from their lives. We give you thanks, we give you praise, and we pray that these flowers might just be a blessing to all who receive them here and to others who will receive them afterwards. May it lift each heart to know they are thought of, loved, and appreciated. In Jesus' name, amen. We've read of motherhood in the life of Moses, his mother Jochebed. And now I just want to read of the church and the Apostle Paul in his role within the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 6, he writes, "As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you." Something of that mother's heart there as well in those verses. You know, today over 30 million cards have been sent. And over £45 million spent on other bits and pieces for Mother's Day. Cut flowers increased by 40% on this day compared to the rest of the year. Wow, it's a big day. It's a big day. And we come to a day like this perhaps with memories of our mothers. Some of us still have mothers to appreciate around with us, and that is a blessing. But it's a day to remember the love that has been shown us, or is being shown to us, to remember the things they taught us, and hopefully we're still mindful and learning from. We have a picture in our kitchen. It must have been up for nearly, 10 years at least, when the kids were in their teens. And this picture reminds me of a few of the many facets of motherhood. It's a picture of a house elf. Now, if you don't know what a house elf is, you know nothing of Harry Potter. And when our kids were growing up, they were, as many kids are at that stage in life, very keen on that sort of thing. A picture of a house elf. And the fact that it's a picture of a house elf is, tells you something about motherhood, because it tells you that their mum knew the sort of things that they knew and liked. But the wording underneath shows a sense of humour, and of course that's vital for motherhood. Our house elves are currently on strike. You will have to clean up your own mess until further notice, it reads. And in that statement, you get the humour of motherhood, but you also get often what mothers have to do, the too often role of tidying up after youngsters, and the role of trying to teach them as well. You know, that the mess they make is the mess they should clear up. Teaching a better way. Now, sometimes you hear of a mother's qualities in the negative. He's a mummy's boy. Can you have too much of your mum? Well, some people seem to think so. Mother's Day. But of course, today is Mothering Sunday, which has a history long before Mother's Day. That history takes us back to those in service, returning to their mother church with flowers picked along the way to give to their mothers. In some ways, until you stop and really think this through, you know, if you were in service, you'd be working day in, day out. You get very precious little time off. And you'd be so far away from where you lived, you wouldn't be nipping home every few days. This was a big, big day, Mothering Sunday, to go back to your home church to meet up with mum and the rest of the family and the rest of the church family. Can you imagine the joy, the love, the celebration of that day? And of course, the flowers that were picked would be all the colours of the rainbow, as it were, all the way from the hedgerows and everything else, all brought in from wherever the children were in service, or the young people were in service. Well, perhaps these days mothers are and have been around more for us to appreciate. But still, it is appropriate that we appreciate them on a special day for what they've done and do for us. The Bible has some wonderful examples of motherhood, not just Jochebed, Moses' mother, but think of a few others with me. One I think is probably one of the most beautiful pictures of motherhood is Hannah, the mother of Samuel, because it says, just tucked away in 1 Samuel 2 verse 19, when Samuel, remember, was called up to serve in the tabernacle area, there with the priest, it says, each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Each year, that special motherly provision for Samuel. And, you know, Hannah's heart was broken when she thought she couldn't have children. And then having a child and then, you know, giving him over to the Lord for serving. And what a great servant of the Lord he became. But each year she would have that reminder and that special trip offering what she had made in that way. Or a more new, perhaps more well-known instance is Mary, our Lord's mother. Remember the words spoken on the cross. We think of Jesus, yes, with pointing out that John, the Apostle John, here is your son, Jesus said. And to John, here is your mother. Making provision for his mother, but also, in a sense, setting up adoption for John. Today, over 30 million cards have been sent. And over £45 million spent on other bits and pieces for Mother's Day. Cut flowers increased by 40% on this day compared to the rest of the year. Wow, it's a big day. It's a big day. And we come to a day like this perhaps with memories of our mothers. Some of us still have mothers to appreciate around with us, and that is a blessing. But it's a day to remember the love that has been shown us, or is being shown to us, to remember the things they taught us, and hopefully we're still mindful and learning from. We have a picture in our kitchen. It must have been up for nearly, 10 years at least, when the kids were in their teens. And this picture reminds me of a few of the many facets of motherhood. It's a picture of a house elf. Now, if you don't know what a house elf is, you know nothing of Harry Potter. And when our kids were growing up, they were, as many kids are at that stage in life, very keen on that sort of thing. A picture of a house elf. And the fact that it's a picture of a house elf tells you something about motherhood, because it tells you that their mum knew the sort of things that they knew and liked. But the wording underneath shows a sense of humour, and of course that's vital for motherhood. Our house elves are currently on strike. You will have to clean up your own mess until further notice, it reads. And in that statement, you get the humour of motherhood, but you also get often what mothers have to do, the too often role of tidying up after youngsters, and the role of trying to teach them as well, you know, that the mess they make is the mess they should clear up. Teaching a better way. Now, sometimes you hear of a mother's qualities in the negative. He's a mummy's boy. Can you have too much of your mum? Well, some people seem to think so. Mother's Day. But of course, today is Mothering Sunday, which has a history long before Mother's Day. That history takes us back to those in service, returning to their mother church with flowers picked along the way to give to their mothers. In some ways, until you stop and really think this through, you know, if you were in service, you'd be working day in, day out. You get very precious little time off, and you'd be so far away from where you lived, you wouldn't be nipping home every few days. This was a big, big day. Mothering Sunday, to go back to your home church to meet up with mum and the rest of the family and the rest of the church family. Can you imagine the joy, the love, the celebration of that day? And of course, the flowers that were picked would be all the colours of the rainbow, as it were, all the way from the hedgerows and everything else, all brought in from wherever the children were in service, or the young people were in service. Well, perhaps these days mothers are and have been around more for us to appreciate, but still it is appropriate that we appreciate them on a special day for what they've done and do for us. The Bible has some wonderful examples of motherhood, not just Jochebed, Moses' mother. But think of a few others with me. One I think is probably one of the most beautiful pictures of motherhood is Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Because it says, just tucked away in 1 Samuel 2 verse 19, when Samuel, remember, was called up to serve in the tabernacle area, there with the priest. It says, each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Each year, that special motherly provision for Samuel. And, you know, Hannah's heart was broken when she thought she couldn't have children, and then having a child, and then, you know, giving him over to the Lord for serving. And what a great servant of the Lord he became. But each year, she would have that reminder and that special trip, offering what she had made in that way. Or a more new, perhaps more well-known instance is Mary, our Lord's mother. Remember the words spoken on the cross. We think of Jesus, yes, with pointing out that John, the Apostle John, here is your son, Jesus said. And to John, here is your mother. Making provision for his mother, but also, in a sense, setting up adoption for John. And again, it's a reminder that, you know, not all children are naturally born to their mothers. There's all sorts of different roles as well. Well, this morning I want you to think about giving. The giving of a mother, the giving of the church, and all that tied up because it's the giving of God. That's where I want us to go. The giving of a mother. Well, as we've seen with the life of Moses' mother, it began by giving birth. It always does for the natural mother, and the pain and the anguish, but then the joy and the wonder holding that baby in her arms. Jochebed was living in difficult times. She was living in times where the Hebrew babies, particularly the boys, were being snatched away, killed. And so she had to make a protection and provision for her boy. We're seeing, sadly, aren't we, on the news, different stories of mothers and with their children fleeing, refugees coming out of Ukraine. You see the same maternal instinct taking over, protecting the children. Got to get out of there because of the children. But giving birth leads, in this situation, to giving protection. The basket in the bulrushes. Strange, isn't it, to think so many years later on, when you talk of a Moses basket, it's now something beautiful. It's now something you put a tiny infant in and it's, you know. But in those days, it was, you know, with pitch, with tar. It was not a thing of beauty. It just had to float. It had to fulfill its purpose. But desperate times called for desperate measures. And a mum was willing to do whatever it took for her boy. I love in that reading how Moses' sister, that would be Miriam, was sent as lookout on that day. She was to watch, standing at a distance, just to make sure everything was in order. Again, a sign of a mother's love and care, that she does what she can, but then seeks the help of others too, to make sure that her child is safe. Giving birth, giving protection, giving care. And here we turn to Pharaoh's daughter. Not related to the boy at all. But she, when she saw the baby crying, was moved with compassion, concerned for this child, making that positive response to help be needed for this child. Care and protection. And then at the end of that reading, we read of how Jochebed, having taken him back to look after him, and be provided for from Egypt, ultimately the day came when he had to go to Pharaoh's palace, to go to Pharaoh's daughter, where sacrifices were made on the part of Jochebed, that she had to give up her child in that situation. And maybe that's where the mummy's boy term comes in, because mums have to give up their children. They've got to grow up. They've got to do it their way. They've got to find a way. You can't be there all the time for them. And so Jochebed, slightly forced in her situation, of course, gives up her child and he grows up in Pharaoh's courts. But the giving of a mother. I don't know what your experience has been. Well, I do know some of your experiences. They're all different, aren't they? Perhaps today is not always easy for some. Mothers are not perfect. And sometimes be just aware of that. But having said that, we're celebrating that maternal instinct that is built in. And as I read in that poem at the beginning, part of God's wonderful design in his creation. But now I'm going to jump to the giving of the church. Seems a long way from Jochebed and the River Nile and the basket with Moses. To turn to Paul. He would not be your choice of a mum, would he? Paul? He's a man. How can he do this? Well, there's a supernatural as well as a natural gifting that God gives. So men, listen up. It is your day as well. You've got no flowers, but here you've got a message coming your way from 1 Thessalonians. Again, sometimes we can just rush into these verses and go, oh, that was nice. Nice Paul, the way he looked after the early church. Wonderful. And it was wonderful and it was nice, don't get me wrong. But this is Paul, previously Saul of Tarsus. If he lived today, he would be acknowledged as, his testimony certainly would be a former terrorist because of what he did to the early church. This is a miracle of grace. This isn't just somebody who had a transformation on the Damascus Road and kept it to himself and thought, oh, wow, I'm so glad this has happened to me. He literally gives his life to the church, to the believers, shares his life, shares everything, works hard not to be a bother or any trouble to them. A miracle of grace worked out day by day in his life. When it comes to sporting achievement, there are small cups and there are big cups, aren't there? You know, the charity shield or the gold cup. Massive, huge, here's a trophy of grace. And here's a big trophy of grace because of the transformation that took place. Paul, like a mother, like a caring mum for the church. After all, he had known the giving of birth. The people in the church had been born again. They'd come to faith. They'd started a new life in Christ by the grace of God, by the preaching of the gospel. God had given Paul and others the words to speak that had transformed and changed their lives. He writes to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 4. And in that letter, he's speaking about those who would follow law, the rules, and those who know the grace of God in Christ. And he makes the distinction, and he references motherhood in it. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother, he says. You brothers, like Isaac, that's Abraham's offspring, are children of promise. You are what you are because of the grace of God. You are what you are because you're a child of promise. Not because of what we have done, striven to do, but because of what Jesus has done for us. Because of the gospel message, new life comes by the grace of God. And so Paul is there amongst the church at Thessalonica, Galatia, other places, and he can see life and growth, and they are like his children. That's how he likens it, having given birth through the preaching of the gospel. But those verses go on to speak about Paul's gentleness. Now again, I remind you of the brutality of his previous life and experience. And he was also a tent maker by profession. I think you have to be fairly burly to be a tent maker. It's not something you can do with a very slight frame. No pun intended. So, again, the gentleness of Paul is a work of the Holy Spirit, a fruit of the Spirit, worked out in his life. We were gentle among you like a mother, caring for her little children, protecting the church from additional burdens, playing his part to the full, doing all that he could to assist and help others. And that's a challenge for you and for me this morning. I don't just want to tell you about Jochebed and Paul as two, you know, old and New Testament characters long way back. It's the challenge to us and the giving of the church to our community and to our world. Because the church should be a place of gentleness. Paul writes to the Philippians, let your gentleness be evident to all. We live in a harsh world, don't we? We live in a harsh world. People cut you up on the roads, in the queues. people after their own, you know, but to be gentle, to look out for those who are struggling. Something very precious that we can do in Jesus' name. May not even get acknowledged by people, but it's, if you're doing it, you know, for the Lord, prompted by his Spirit, let your gentleness be evident to all. What a witness a gentle spirit can be. When everybody else is raging, to have that quietness and that stillness. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, and give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Do not bash people over the head with Bibles. Gently come alongside them. We've been learning about that in our Passion for Life. You know, yes, we've been learning, not tricks of the trade, but we've come to the conclusion it's personal contact, it's friendship, it's getting to know people and speaking at the right time in the right way. Speaking up, yes, and speaking out, definitely, but in the right way, with that gentleness and respect. Paul knew of the church. He'd seen it grow and be born and develop, and he knew it needed that care as well, that gentleness. He speaks of love and sacrifice, and again, these are great qualities of motherhood. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. I mean, I guess it is possible to be a mum and just stick the food on the table and walk away and never talk to your child at all. But it's not a very good example, is it? Mums share everything, you know, cuddles on their laps, you know, sort of, they talk about how the day's been. They do provide food on the table, but other things as well. And as a church, we are to promote care, personal care to each other. Sharing, what a challenge this is, because we live in an individualistic day. Everything is geared up for the individual. You do not need anybody, is what the world says. And we say, first of all, you need God through Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord, and you need community. And if we've seen anything in the last 2 years with COVID and all this, when community is taken away, people struggle. It's a reminder that we have the right message, the right way to God, and the right way for community together. But it takes love, it takes sacrifice. And for Paul, it took toil and it took hardship. He worked day and night not to be a burden. Now, don't get me wrong on this. It's good to share what, you know, when we're in need together. It's never good to keep it all bottled up. But when we are not in need, then is the time to see who else is in need. To share together. If we've been through something, that's not as pastors giving up our pastoral responsibility, but it works better when everyone is praying for each other, sharing together, encouraging each other and saying, this is what the Lord did for me in this situation. You know, can I pray for you in your situation? Just the way community, church community, works best. And the thing most of all that comes through about Paul, yes, he did share with gentleness and love and sacrifice and toil and hard work. He did all that. Why? So that he could instruct in the truth. He could preach the gospel of God to you. It's a very important role for mothers. Sadly, many fathers have been ditched or are not in the picture anymore for whatever reason. And so mum's role includes being the corrector, the discipliner, the disciplinarian, I think is probably a better word. I'm going to read another poem. I started with a poem. I'm going to read a poem. This is a modern poem. See if you can spot the difference. No, there's too many differences. But this poem, it's a good poem, but it talks about all the gentle and soft things of motherhood, but never anything else. Mothers are for loving you, if you're good or bad. Mothers are for sharing whatever makes you glad. Mothers are for laughing at your favourite jokes. Mothers are for helping you get on with other folks. Mothers are for telephones when they ring. Mothers are for pushing when you're on a swing. This is for small children, this poem. Mothers are for loving when you snuggle up so tight. Mothers are for kissing you a sweet and kind good night. Mothers are baking yummy birthday cakes. Mothers are nursing you when your tummy aches. Mothers are for cuddling you when you have to weep. Mothers are for covering you when you fall asleep. Well, they are all those things. I've no criticism in one sense of all that. But where's that extra bit? The input into the lives. Yes, I guess it does say they're helping you get on with other folks. But sometimes we can just look for the gentleness. We can just look for the comfort. We can just look for what we want rather than what we need to hear. But when we come to church, I hope we get both. I hope we get challenged as well as comforted with God's word. That's the way it's supposed to be. And Paul said that he did what he did while we preached the gospel of God to you. Because none of us are past the point of needing to hear the gospel of God again and again for it to shape our lives that we might be more like Jesus. So the giving of mothers and the giving of the church united on a day like this. All because of the giving of God. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above. We talk about saving grace, to know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, to know eternal life through believing in Him. We talk of saving grace. But there is something else in our world which we refer to as common grace. And that's not to make it derogatory, and but it's something that is in our world. People don't recognize it, don't often give thanks to God for it. But this maternal instinct is right there. It's one of these things of common grace, for a heart to be moved by, with compassion and love for another, whether it be a child that they've given birth to, but even in the general sense of love in our world. That giving of the maternal instinct is a reflection of God's nature. Now, it's not a very clear reflection because it's imperfect in us, but it is perfect with God. God's gift of loving care is seen in creation, but of course it's seen most of all in salvation. The giving of God's Son to us. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. I love that last little part, that we might live through Him. Because that's what we need. We need to be enabled to live and love and be as He was and is in our world. God has given us His Son, yes, to save us, but also to help us by His Holy Spirit as we seek to serve others. God's gift is to help us love one another. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "It is God who made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." And so that transformation that you see in the Apostle Paul of being going from being a terrorist in effect to being a caring, loving mother to the church, well, that's an extreme example, but it shows the transformation and change that the Lord can do by His Spirit in the hearts of His people as we are open to Him, as we seek to serve each other. So I ask you this morning, in conclusion, how mother-like are you when it comes to gentleness and love and care for others? When it comes to guiding others in the truth, how motherlike are we to our world? Do we just let everybody just go on their merry way? No, surely not. We know And we heard last week, the way is Jesus. We want people on that way. If we've received and know God's grace in our own lives, how are we living out that grace towards others? Those who were doing service came back to Mother Church and rejoiced to be together. We have the privilege of week by week coming in from the world to rejoice, to learn more of our Saviour, and to then go out to seek to serve, to be in service ourselves, not in the big house up the road, but in our little houses and our lives, wherever we might be. So on this day of giving, giving thanks to mothers and giving thanks for the Mother Church, we give thanks to God through Christ, who makes it all possible for us. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessing upon our time together. Thank you that we have been able to celebrate mothers and motherhood and indeed your church. But most of all, our desire has been to give you praise, to give you thanks. Because without you, Lord, none of this would mean anything. None of this would be possible. So Lord, go with each one. To those who will celebrate with family, with mothers today, bless those celebrations. For those who will take perhaps a quiet moment just to reflect, again, be their peace, be there with them in presence to bring comfort to. And Lord, for us as a church, Lord, help us be more and more mother-like to each other in support and care, but also in our reaching out to others. We thank you that we have not just the good news of a message that saves through Jesus, but thank you that we can, along with that message, share and show through our lives your love by your Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh then, Lord, as we go on our way. May keep us close to yourself in the coming week. Watch over us, care, protect us, provide for us and help us, and bless and make us a blessing. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.